Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, across Europe, a number of historic churches, historic cathedrals, are now popular tourist attractions and nothing more. No one is gathering for worship there. The Word of God isn't being preached or heard there. What used to be vibrant centers of worship are now nothing more than places of historical interest. And what's happening in those churches is a reflection of what is happening in the surrounding culture. In England, for example, only about 5 to 10% of people now attend church regularly. You see those kinds of things happening, and it certainly can appear that Christianity is in great decline in today's world. Yet it's actually estimated that the percentage of people worldwide who are Christians is actually holding steady, or maybe even slightly increasing. And why is that? Because while Christianity is declining in much of the Western world, it is thriving and growing in other parts of the world. In places like Ethiopia and Madagascar, for example, so many people are being drawn to Christ that the churches are having a hard time keeping up with it. They're having a hard time equipping enough pastors and teachers to serve the people. So what's happening is not so much that the Christian church is in decline, rather it's that the Christian church is now simply being found in different places than where it used to be found. As the Word of God is being rejected or neglected in some places, it is being embraced in other places, places that might seem surprising. And while it might seem surprising to us when we see these kinds of things happening, it is actually nothing new. About 500 years ago, Martin Luther observed how the same kind of thing had been happening throughout history. Luther said that the gospel is like a rain cloud that pours down in one place for a while and then moves on to another place and waters the earth there. He said, God's word and grace is a passing downpour, which rains down for a time and then moves on. It had been with the Jewish people, but was lost. Paul brought it to Greece, and it was lost, replaced by Islam. Rome has also had it, and has also lost it. So we see this happening throughout Christian history, and it actually should not surprise us to see this happening, because it is exactly what Jesus said we should expect to see, that as the gospel is rejected in one place, it moves on and bears fruit in another place. And in fact, we hear Jesus speaking about just that in today's gospel reading. Early in Jesus' ministry, he had been preaching and teaching in the region of Galilee, and the people were embracing him and his message. As I read in Luke, Jesus taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Then he came to his own hometown, the town where he had grown up, Nazareth. There, Jesus went to the synagogue for worship, just as he did every week on the Sabbath. And as a visiting teacher, he was invited to read from the scriptures and address the congregation. So Jesus rolled open the scroll of Isaiah, and he read a well-known passage that was about the promised Messiah and what he would do when he came. Jesus read the inspired words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then Jesus rolled the scroll back up and sat down on the seat at the front of the synagogue, which is where the teacher would sit in a synagogue service at that time. Luke tells us the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, as they were anxious to hear what Jesus would have to say about those words he had just read. And Jesus said to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." For those who like short sermons that still manage to say a lot, you just cannot beat that sermon by Jesus. In one sentence, he proclaimed that in him and his ministry, all the messianic prophecies, all of the messianic promises were coming to fulfillment. He was the one sent by the Father and anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach good news to the poor in spirit, to set free those who had been taken captive by sin and hopelessness and fear, to give new sight to those who were spiritually blind, so that they could see God's grace and their salvation, to proclaim liberty to the oppressed, those who had been beaten down by the devil, the world, and their own sinful nature. In other words, Jesus was saying he had come to bring salvation. He had come to be our Savior. That is the message that the Christian church is built on. And it is a message that the people of Nazareth rejected. Luke tells us that all the people began talking about what Jesus had just said. And while they might have been impressed with the power of Jesus' presentation, they could not accept that what he said was actually true, as they dismissively said to one another, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" In other words, who does this carpenter's son think he is, making such claims about himself? Matthew and Mark both summarize this by telling us that the people there took offense at Jesus. Jesus perceived their reaction, and he responded. Observing that a prophet is without honor in his own hometown, Jesus reminded the people of how the prophet Elijah had been rejected by his fellow Israelites, but was sent to a Gentile widow in Zarephath who welcomed and believed him, and of how the prophet Elisha was remembered not for healing Israelites, many of whom rejected him, but for healing Naaman, who was a Syrian. Jesus' point was that although they, his own people, were rejecting him, he would take his message to others who would believe, and who, through faith in him, would receive all of those blessings from God that he had just read about and freely offered. It's the same point that John made in his gospel when he said this about Jesus. He said, "He came to his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." To use Luther's imagery of the gospel being like a rain cloud that moves on from one place to another, here we see the rain cloud of the gospel pass quickly over Nazareth, and then throughout the rest of Jesus' ministry, we see the gospel generously watering other places and producing a great harvest in those places. As we read through the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, we see his own townspeople rejecting him and even attempting to throw him off of a cliff. But we see people like a Samaritan woman and a Roman centurion expressing their faith in him. We see most of the leaders of the Jewish people rejecting Jesus. But we see people whom those leaders dismissed as hopeless sinners finding their hope and their salvation in Jesus. In some places and some hearts, Jesus and his message were rejected. So those remained places of spiritual famine. But in other places and other hearts, Jesus and his gospel were received in faith and treasured. And those places became like an oasis in the desert. So it was at the time of Christ, and so it has been ever since that time. Christ is received by some, rejected by others, and Christ is initially received in some places, only to later be neglected and pushed out. In Western Europe, cathedrals become nothing but historic sites for tourists to visit, while in East Africa, people flock to churches, including many people who are risking their lives by doing that. So why is this something that we should be thinking about today? Well, it's important to learn lessons from history. This is not just a history lesson. When Martin Luther spoke about how the gospel historically has moved like a rain cloud from one place to another, his real interest was not in history. His concern was the spiritual health of the people around him then, and of their children and their children's children. He told the people of Germany that they needed to carefully hold on to the gospel so that they wouldn't find one day that it had passed away from them too. And we here today need to hear that same plea to hold on to God's word, and that same warning to never let go of it. For it isn't only in other places like Europe that the word of God is being let go of. It is sad to see Christian cathedrals becoming mere tourist sites in Europe. But it is even sadder to see in our own country several examples in the last few years of what used to be thriving Christian churches becoming inactive, then vacant, and then being converted into Muslim mosques. Closer to home for all Christians, it is sad any time that we see another church or a family or an individual we know loosening their hold on Christ and his word. And even closer to home, you and I need to be aware of the ways that we can find it easy to exclude Christ from certain parts of our own lives, and how easy we can find it at times to gradually let ourselves grow more distant from him as we gradually neglect him and his word to us. Ultimately, our main focus needs to be not on looking around and wondering how things could have gone so wrong in some places, but rather of each of us looking within, into our own hearts and our own lives, and repenting of any ways that we have been letting go of the Lord and his word, or loosening our grip on him and his word, and then drawing near to Christ, looking to him both for forgiveness of where we have gone wrong, and also for the renewal and strengthening of our faith going forward. We are blessed to live in a time and a place where we do have free access to God's word and the freedom to worship him in peace. Let us not neglect so great a gift while we still have it. In the words of Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. And as we do call upon him in prayer and do seek him in his word, we also do have his promise that he will be working through that word to strengthen us and to renew us, both in faith toward him and in fervent love toward one another. Turning again to the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the Lord says to us, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The rain cloud of God's word is here among us now. Let us continue to come and be cleansed and refreshed in it. Let us continue to gladly come and hear of the one who came to proclaim liberty to the captives and then gave his life to set us free. Let us continue to gladly come and hear of the one who came to give sight to the blind and then closed his eyes in death on the cross so that our eyes could be opened to see God's grace and our salvation. Let us continue to gladly come and hear of the one who bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we could become living members of the body of Christ. And let us each treasure our place in that body as we also treasure our fellow members of that body. Abide in Christ in the confidence that he will also abide with you. And by God's grace, your heart will never become a deserted cathedral, but will forever remain God's dwelling place, a temple of the Lord. All glory, honor, and praise be to our great God and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, Christ the Lord, now and forevermore. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.